thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
How do you listen to sermons? Whenever you're listening to a sermon, is there lots of stuff running through your head on Sunday morning? But remember to put the timer on the oven. They're putting on a bit of weight. Whenever Graham's preaching, like, my goodness, that light's shining in his head, really bright. All sorts of stuff runs through our head. We're listening to sermons. Maybe you like to listen to how a sermon's structured and all of that. But primarily, when we are listening to sermons, we should be asking the question, what is God saying to me through his word? Not to the person beside me, not to anybody else, not to somebody outside. What, Lord, are you saying to me through your word? This evening, this sermon I'm going to preach has the potential to change your life forever if you really engage with the question that Jesus asked in this passage of scripture. It's a question that doesn't make any assumptions. It's a question that really probes what we're thinking and it reveals our heart. So let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. You haven't been coming on Sunday evenings. I've been preaching through some of the questions that Jesus asked in Matthew's Gospel, not in any particular order, but just as I feel the Spirit leading. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 29 to 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them, be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. Here's the question. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. What a question. Some people become invisible over time. In Jesus' time, just as in our time, people who are begging, just sitting at the side of the road, sitting on the street, can very easily become invisible, mainly because people don't actually want to notice them. They maybe don't want to notice them because they feel a bit obligated to give them some money, or maybe they despise them because they think, well, you should be out earning your own keep, or maybe they are an uncomfortable reminder of what can happen in life. But beggars weren't an unusual sight in first century Israel. It wasn't easy even for able-bodied people to earn a living. Most people lived a real hand-to-mouth existence, but if you were born with a disability or you got a disability at some point, your situation was precarious. An extra mouth in the family to feed when things were tight was difficult. There was absolutely no social welfare, no benefits. So people with disabilities were often just dumped down in public places at the side of the road by the temple gates in the hope that they could just beg for charity, in the hope that somebody passing by would toss a few coins. It was a degrading and a miserable existence. Jesus was coming. Don't miss the opportunity. Here in Matthew's gospel, Mark and Luke, they tell us about one man was named as Bartimaeus, probably the more vocal. But here in Matthew, he tells us there were two blind men sitting by the side of the road. They were begging for money. Probably men who were a familiar sight to passers-by. They were probably dressed in rags, maybe looking a bit unkempt. They lost the normal dignity of being a working man. Can you imagine living your life entirely dependent on the goodwill or even the condescension of others? What kind of feeling does that produce in you? Being a nobody, being beneath others, being useless, being valueless in that society. But this one day, they hear a large crowd of people coming along the road. Crowds are good news if you're a beggar. More people, more money. That's probably what they were thinking. More coins. But then they can hear these voices and this crowd. They sense a kind of a different vibe. There's expectancy. There's excitement in this crowd. There's a sense of vibrancy in the air. Somehow or another, they get wind of what's happening. Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. For these two blind men, this realization is profound. They, like everybody else, has heard about Jesus, what he's been doing in the villages. The blind have been made to see. The deaf are hearing. The lame are walking. Demons are driven out. People are set free. The dead are raised. God, the kingdom of God is being preached. He's a miracle worker. There's nobody else like Jesus. Now, they didn't know this was Jesus' last time to pass this way. They didn't know that. They didn't know that he was on his way to Jerusalem for the final time. They didn't know he was going to Jerusalem to be handed over to sinful men. They didn't know he was going to Jerusalem to be falsely accused and condemned and hung on a Roman cross. They didn't know any of this. What they knew was this. Jesus is here in this place right now, and it's our opportunity to receive something from him. That's what they knew. What an opportunity. An opportunity to meet Jesus. It's vital when you have an opportunity to meet Jesus not to settle for anything less. A big crowd, extra money, coins. No, Jesus is here. What does a few more coins in the begging bowl matters? That we meet Jesus, that's all that matters. They knew they weren't guaranteed another opportunity. Friends, in our lives, there are also very significant moments. Moments for us to engage personally with Jesus Christ. Maybe for salvation. Maybe to deal with some issue in our lives. Maybe to receive something specific from him. It's a moment when we know his presence and his power is near. It is with us. We need to ensure that we do not miss the opportunity. Is Jesus calling to you tonight? Is he calling you to himself? Maybe you've never committed your life to Jesus, and tonight he's calling you. And you're maybe saying, well, I'll put it off to next week or next year or a more convenient time. We do well to remember what God says in Genesis. My spirit will not always strive or contend with man. There may not be another opportunity. You might think, well, I'll take my chance. I'll be here in church. I bet you I'll be here in church next Sunday. You could be back in the building and never hear the voice of God again. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. When the opportunity is there, when God is speaking, we need to take it. And to us as Christians, there are opportunities in our lives too. There are specific times when God speaks to us about something, when God presents us with an opportunity that may never come to us again. Let's not resist him. Let's not hold back. Let's not be content with a few coins in the bowl when we've got the chance to engage with Jesus Christ. Don't miss the opportunity. For these two men, they knew he can do it. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they knew this is our opportunity. Maybe their own only opportunity to engage with him. And they began to shout out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. That cry tells us everything. To them, Jesus wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a rabbi, nor even just a miracle worker. They cried, Lord, Son of David. They knew this is Messiah. This is God's deliverer. This is the one who was promised, and he's here right now in this place. For all their poverty, for their lack of education, for their lack of place in society, for their physical blindness, they had far more spiritual insight than even the religious leaders had. They knew who he was. And because of who he was, they knew what he could do. Oh, friends, Lord, waken us up to know who he is and what he can do. Maybe they attend at the synagogue. Maybe they have been brought up in homes of faith. They knew one thing. Jesus is the Messiah. His works are the works of the one who is to come. Spiritual truth is not grasped by being educated. It's not. There are plenty of reverend doctors, so-and-sos, in many a pulpit, and they are educated and they don't know spiritual truth. There are professors of theology in universities the world over, and they don't know spiritual truth. I'm not obviously talking about all of them, because it doesn't come from education. It doesn't come from position in society. It doesn't come from being religious. Spiritual truth comes by revelation from the Spirit of God right into the heart that's open to the Lord. Even if it's not open to the Lord, he can bring it anyway. He did that to the Apostle Paul. Spiritual truth is via revelation. John the Baptist, he was in prison. He wasn't sure. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that was to come, or should we be looking for somebody else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. I'm the one, and I can do it. Indisputable evidence of who Jesus is. Fulfillment of the words of the prophet Isaiah. He's the Son of David, Messiah, and he's walking right past these two blind men. I tell you, they're not going to miss the opportunity because they're blind, because he's the one who opens the eyes of the blind. And not only can he do it, he came to do it. And so in their minds, they are the perfect candidates for the mercy of God. Son of David, have mercy on us. They want his mercy. Finally, this evening, raise your shout. I want you to imagine yourself in their position. Everybody close your eyes for a wee second. Just close your eyes. It's dark, isn't it? Now you see some bit of the light, but it's dark. You can't see anybody around you. And open them again. You've sat at the side of the road like that, probably for years. Today, a big crowd is passing by. You are basically invisible to this crowd. You could be trampled on if you're not careful. They are so caught up in the excitement of the moment, caught up in Jesus going towards Jerusalem. They're not noticing two blind beggars at the side of the road. And if they did notice them, they're shoving them out of the way. They don't want to be tripped up by them. But you sit there, and it's your chance to see Jesus, to meet Jesus. But how will you meet him if you can't see where he is? In this crowd, this hubbub of activity, how are you going to get through? You might not have sight, but one thing you do have, and that's your voice. If you're going to be heard above the noise of this crowd, if you're going to attract the attention of Jesus, you're going to have to raise your shout. I'm pretty sure that they were not still sitting. I'm pretty sure they got to their feet. They couldn't go anywhere, all the tripping hazards. But they did what they could do. They began to shout, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowds didn't like it. Why? The crowds rebuked them. Shh, shut up, be quiet. Sit back down there, get out of the way. Listen, folks, if you've spent years of your life being dependent, being submissive, being subservient, begging, having no outward dignity, being invisible basically, and then you raise your head a bit, you raise your shout, and somebody says, shut up, be quiet, get back, know your place. How easy would it be to think, oh, I forgot myself there. How easy would it be to cower, to back off? But these two knew, this is our opportunity. This is it. Jesus is here right now. So nothing was going to put them off. They're shouting all the louder. Most of the people in this crowd believed Jesus was the Messiah. They believed it. They were convinced he's going to Jerusalem and he is going to set up the kingdom of God. He is going to overthrow the might of the Romans. They were fed up with the oppression of the Romans. They're pinning their hopes on Jesus. He's a king. But this king has no time for a couple of blind beggars, a couple of nobodies, a couple of invisibles by the side of the road. He's got an important mission to fulfill. Don't you bother with him because he's not interested in you. Ah, but he is. He is bothered about you. He is interested in you. You saying, Jesus wouldn't be that interested in my life. Yeah, maybe he saved me, but Jesus isn't that bothered about my life. Are the voices in your head saying to you, sit down, shut up, don't raise your shout, don't make yourself obvious. Jesus isn't interested, but he is. He is interested. For some people, becoming visible is an uncomfortable experience. You might prefer to be that person, that anonymous person, who is never noticed. You might think, well, that's just who I am. But what might you be missing by being anonymous, by staying invisible? I want to encourage you tonight. Raise your shout. Raise your shout. Jesus heard their cries, desperation and faith. And he stopped. He stopped. And he asked them this incredible question. What do you want me to do for you? What a question. The crowd, they just must have stopped in their tracks, totally silent. Beggars were the lowest of the low in first century Israel, outcasts from society, objects of pity best to be avoided. Nobody's too low for Jesus. Nobody. Jesus had been, if you read earlier in Matthew's gospel, the preceding couple of chapters rather, you will see there Jesus was constantly teaching a truth. I've come to serve. I've come to serve the kingdom of God. It's about serving. He still asked them this question. I mean, when they were brought to Jesus, it must have been blatantly obvious to Jesus, here are two blind men. But he asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Why did he ask them that? Why? Did he want them to vocalize the request? Did he want them to specify their need? Did he want them to identify what they knew he could do for them? I believe all three. I believe he absolutely wanted them to vocalize the request. I believe he wanted them to identify the specific need that they wanted Jesus to meet. And I believe that he wanted them to identify that they knew he could do it. And they said, Lord, we want our sight. With compassion, he reached out and he touched their eyes. Their sight was restored and they followed Jesus. This evening, Jesus is asking you, every one of us, what do you want me to do for you? Said at the beginning, how do you listen to a sermon? We're in this gathering tonight. It's such a privilege to be with God's people in the house of the Lord. What a privilege. But we're not a social gathering. This is a spiritual gathering. Jesus is actually here. We can't see him. He's here by his Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, folks, not nonetheless, that's the wrong phrase. He is here. He is present. And he is coming to each one and he's saying to you, what do you want me to do for you? The answer to that question shows the deepest desire of your heart. It reveals a lot about us. It reveals our priorities. It reveals our deepest longings. Jesus is saying to you tonight, will you vocalize what it is that you want me to do? Will you vocalize it? He's saying, will you identify specifically what it is that you want me to do for you? Will you acknowledge that you know who I am and that I can do it? The voices right now in your head and the voices of the enemy, or the voice rather of the enemy right now will be saying to you, be quiet, be quiet. Get back. Know your place. Get out of the way. He's got more important matters to attend to. Become invisible again. Don't make yourself obvious. But Jesus is saying, raise your shout. Raise your shout. Is there faith stirring in anybody's heart, or is it just mine? Is there faith stirring in your heart? He's not asking the person beside you. He's asking you. He's asking the question, what do you want me to do for you? In the end of the day, we are all blind beggars who have no hope apart from the mercy of God, all of us. But he is merciful, merciful to blind beggars who know their need, who will not pass the opportunity by, and who knows that he can do it, and who are willing to raise their shout. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for how you touch us through your word, how you go right to our hearts. Thank you for your wonderful presence among us. And thank you tonight, Lord, for the stirring of faith in hearts. And I pray, Lord, tonight that needs will be met before people even are out of this door. I pray tonight, Lord, that the answer to that question, what do you want me to do for you, will be vocalized. Help us not to be silenced and shoved back down begging by the side of the road, but that tonight we would receive. In Jesus' name.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.